When we hear a gospel like the one today, where Jesus comes to set the world on fire and cause division and not peace, it's hard for us to figure out what to do with that. How do we live that? What is it we're supposed to do? It's very complicated and strange. And for that reason, instead of trying to give you a nice long speech about setting the world on fire or whatnot, instead I want to take advice from the letter to the Hebrews and find the witnesses that teach us what that looks like. So I have four different saints that I'm going to tell their story that explain how they set the world on fire, what they did with their life with God that changed the world around us. And the first one, and one that's very important to all of us, is St. Helena, the patroness of our diocese. She was a 4th century queen, the queen of the Roman Empire. Her husband was one who had tried to persecute the Christians. He was one of the last kings to go through and actually try to exterminate Christianity from the Roman Empire. She, however, converted in the midst of her husband's persecution of the church and his death, to the point where she became one of the great promoters of the church. She financed huge building projects to build churches throughout the Roman Empire, and also went and financed the excavation of a lot of Jerusalem. She found the true cross. She has a great story where they found three crosses in this open pit, and they decided to put them to the test. They found a man who was sick, and they touched a piece of the cross, of each of the three crosses, to him, and one miraculously healed him. So that was the true cross. She found the nails that Jesus' hands and feet were pierced with. And then in addition to that, she built two great churches, the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, two of the oldest churches in Christianity that have withstood 1,700 years. So in many ways, St. Helena was a great promoter of Christianity, so much so that her son, Emperor Constantine, who took the throne after the death of his father, was the first to legalize Christianity, and doing so led to the flowering of Christianity across the Roman Empire. Thousands upon thousands of people converted once it became legal. So although St. Helena was a queen and did all these things for the church, really her crowning achievement was her son, who through him led to what we have today, the flowering of Christianity. Let's change the tides a little bit and do the exact opposite. So now I want to talk about a saint who could not be more polar opposite to St. Helena. His name is St. Charles de Foucauld, who was just canonized a saint this year. He was born in the 19th century in modern-day France, where at the age of 6, his parents died, leaving him an orphan. He was raised by his grandfather, who was a strong, faithful man. That being the case, Charles was not. At the age of 16, he went and joined the military, to which a few years later he defected. Now in Algeria, he tried to join the military again and defected again. A third time he tried and defected, he just couldn't commit to it. So then, now in Algeria, having kind of led this life of confusion, he was inspired by the Muslims and the Jews of Algeria, who lived such prominent faith that inspired him to return back to his Catholic faith. Think about that for a moment. The Jews and the Muslims inspired him to become Catholic again. Anyways, he was so inspired, he joined the Trappist monastery and then left a few years later. He didn't stick with much. But he was, the life of the Trappist and then the life of a Christian so inspired him that he went back to Algeria, where he spent his life being hospitable to the people around him. No one flocked to him. No one cared what he did. He lived a hidden, quiet life of just caring for the people around him and being hospitable. And through that changed many lives, so many lives that after his death, people started religious communities based on his life, life of hospitality, of care for people within those lands. One of the things that really inspired people about his life was he believed that by prayer and spending time before the Blessed Sacrament, he takes that time and brings it to the people around him. So they experience the Eucharist, they experience God through his time of prayer, which really inspired a lot of people in the 20th century. So these two saints could not be more contrasting. We have the great queen of the Roman Empire and a guy who led a hidden life in Algeria. We have someone who pushed the cause of Christianity and the people around her, and then someone who just lived a life of faith. But I'm not done yet. I have two more saints for you. The next one is a little bit more close to home. 20th century saint from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. His name is Blessed Stanley Rother. He was a man who was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Oklahoma City and then felt called, and his bishop agreed, to go do missionary work. So he was sent down to Guatemala, where he did nothing special. He spent time with his people, he loved his people, and he did what he could as a priest to build them up and help them understand the faith. In the midst of his time in Guatemala, the Guatemalan Civil War happened. And because the land was fairly hostile, and he was an American citizen, they sent him back to Oklahoma. He lived for a while until things calmed down, then he went back. Once he went back, the regime had changed. And now he was a promoter of the cause for the poor, helping people have basic needs and helping his people in that way, which put him at odds with the government. The government was not a fan of the poor people and was mainly a source of oppression. Because of his care for the poor, he was put on their hit list. They wanted him dead. Knowing that, they shipped him out of the country once again. He spent another year in Oklahoma before realizing his heart was not there. He could not stay here. He needed to be with his people in Guatemala. So defying the orders, he went back to Oklahoma, back to Guatemala. Now on the hit list, and back in the place where they want him dead, the government sent a group of thugs to go arrest him. The way the Guatemalan government worked was they didn't just kill you. They figured if they arrest you and send you away, the family will be more compliant with the government, thinking they'll get you back. So they just make you disappear. He said, "No, I will not allow that to happen. I don't want my people to wonder where I'm at." So he fought them back. And in the midst of fighting against these people who were bent on arresting him, they shot him 5 times and killed him. Upon his death, there was a dispute. Where should he be buried? He's from the Diocese of Oklahoma City, but that's not where his heart is. They eventually settled on having his body buried in Oklahoma and his heart buried in Guatemala, which I think is kind of cool. It showed the connection to his people. He always loved them. If you want to read more about his life, Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Shepherd Who Did Not Run. And it's about his life and the shepherd who stayed with his people, even to the point of his death. In contrast to that one, we have a woman who lived a very hidden life, St. Monica. Those who may know of her realize we know next to nothing about her. She lived in the 4th century, and she lived a very quiet life. In the midst of her years, she converted to Christianity, in which she knew St. Ambrose and worked very hard for the good of the church in Milan, Italy. Beyond that, there's nothing spectacular about her life. What she is best known for is her persistence in prayer. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for the conversion of her son. She had 2 sons and a daughter, and she felt her life was fulfilled at the conversion of her son, Augustine. As he chronicles in his biography, The Confessions of St. Augustine, at the death of his mom, she was in a foreign country. And as she was getting ill, she called her 2 sons and daughter to herself. As she was dying, her sons said, "Mother, let us take you back to your homeland where you can be buried." She said, "Why? I'm going to be dead. Who cares where I'm buried? What I got what I wanted in life. You converted. My son Augustine actually converted, and that's what I wanted more than anything else." So that through her prayers and through the conversion of St. Augustine, we have one of the greatest people of the early church. He wrote 84 different works by hand, to which he was the greatest and most prolific writer of the entire church. His works and his ministry in the city of Hippo led to a great flowering of Christianity across the empire in the 4th century. So yes, even the hidden life of a woman who was persistent in prayer led to an abundance of faith in the people of the world around us. I bring up these examples to help encourage you. Because when you talk about setting the world on fire and the great cloud of witnesses who help us persevere in our faith, these are them. They should inspire us and encourage us. By reading their lives and seeing the things that may apply to our own lives, it helps us live the life of faith. It encourages us that these things too are possible. Often we forget that God has a purpose for us. He has a plan. He has a calling. He has a way for us that if we're willing and able to follow it, just willing more than anything else, we're willing to follow him, we're willing to go where he asks us to go, it leads us to greater happiness. Because that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be filled with joy. And he knows that the best way to do that is complying with him and being faithful to his will. Keep reading the lives of the saints. Let these examples encourage you that they did it. They set the world on fire. They lived the life of faith. They persevered to the end just by being faithful. That's it. And we can do the same. We can persevere to the end. We can set the world on fire. We can live like them just by complying with God's will.